All right, praise God. How you guys doing? Good? All right, praise God. Well, before we start, you know, we're a small church still, and so we're going to give a quick announcement and update. I'm going to ask Yesenia to come up to the front. Come on up, sister. Yeah. And we didn't tell her, so I'm not going to make her give a speech, but... But she's actually a natural, right? She's a natural with the mic. So do you want to say a couple words?
Sure.
See, I'm telling you, she's like, give me that mic. Because, you know, so let me give you guys a quick update. I met Yesenia during COVID. She works at UHC. We did a lot of awesome work together at UHC during that time when we were doing all these crazy COVID testing events. And then she joined our church when we launched. And so it's been a privilege to have her here. I'll give you guys a quick update. Yesenia is moving. Oh, she's moving. She's moving away. But we've been praying, right, that the blessings will not be blocked in her life,
no,
right?
No blessing blocker here.
And so she's been wanting, you know, one of her desires was she wanted to move down south. I still think, you know, the land of milk and honey, it's why do you want to leave here, you know, to the land of sun and overpriced rent? But she's moving to San Diego, right? So we're happy for her, right? Just stay off the freeways and, you know. But she's going to be moving. I think she's making her first trip today, is what I was told. So why don't I give you the mic, and then you can say a little bit.
Hello. So, yes, I'll be taking a couple things right after church. It's, you know, I've been praying about this for a long time coming. You know, for a while, I think it's normal for us to think, when is it going to be my turn? When is it my time? You see kind of blessings kind of fall upon everybody else, and you think, just what about me, God? And even though God has opened this door, God's not done. If anything, the work is just getting started. But, you know, I understand things now, why God said, not right now. This door is going to close. You need to be patient, and patience is a hard thing. And so the one thing I, you know, have to continue to remember is that even though, you know, I'm so excited, I'm going to be opening up a new chapter, I'm still going to be having some valleys. And I need to remember that the God of the mountaintop is the God of the valleys. And, you know, no matter what happens, just trust that he knows what he's doing. And so just continue praying for me. Obviously, it's important for me to stay connected with God no matter where I am. Because without God, I'm nothing. So I thank you for the continuous prayers. I think I lost hair this last month. My skin was breaking out. I was like, oh my goodness, but we're here. I'm still standing. And so pray for my parents too. They're quiet, but I know they're having a little bit of a hard time. So thank you, and I appreciate it. So anytime like I said, my parents are here, I come back, this is still home for me. Yeah.
Thank you, sister. So I'm going to, wait, don't leave. Yeah, see, look, she's like, first she can't wait to take the mic, and now she's, I got to go. I'm going to ask you guys to come. Listen, we're still a small church. We're old school. Come on, let's pray for her. Let's have a circle around Yesenia, because, man, it's a big deal, right? And I, you know, the funny thing is that you don't realize how much you need your tribe until you're not with them. Right, and so it's really important that we continue to support her. Would you guys come on through, fill it in. I'm going to stand in the back and I'm going to pray. It's okay. We're still a small family. It's all right. You know, this is the nice thing about the small church. I remember one thing that Yesenia's dad told me. He says, "Listen, in the small church, life is better because you know each other, because you can pray for each other, because you can encourage one another." Right, and this is a beautiful thing. Where God says, "Where two or three are gathered in His name, He's there." Right. So you're saying that you're not alone ever, right? Number one, you have your Heavenly Father who loves you. You have your church family who loves you, right? And you're never alone, right? The enemy is a liar for sure. And I would say, like I said, I've been this in my own time when I've left my home and I left my community and I felt, God, man, I miss my family. I miss my people. I miss my tribe. So we're going to be praying for you, sister, that everything goes well, number one. That you have an awesome time down in San Diego, that you stay safe, and that you continue to seek God with all your heart. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord God, and we are so excited, Lord God. We praise you, Lord, for the answered prayer that you've had, Lord God, that your Son has been looking for this opportunity, Lord God, and you opened the door for her, Lord God. So we are thankful and excited for what you're going to do in her life, Lord. Will you continue to have your hand over her, Lord God? Will you watch over her steps and guide her, protect her, Lord God? Lord, we rebuke the attacks of the enemy, Lord God, that no weapon will be formed against her, Lord God, as she's moving down south, Lord God. Keep her safe, first and foremost. Keep her close to you. And Father, strong desire to be connected to your word and to you, Lord Jesus, and to the Holy Spirit, Lord God. Will you continue to, I pray, Lord God, that she finds also, remotely, if she needs to, she could stay connected with our church, Lord, through virtually. But also, Lord, it's important that she finds a local church as well. Somewhere where she can get connected and get plugged in and utilize the gifts, talents, and ability, experience that you've gifted her with, Lord God. She's a gifted speaker, Lord God. She has an amazing testimony. And Lord God, you are not done with her. You have a great work for her to do, Lord God. So I pray, Lord, wherever she goes, your hand would be on her. That you would bless her, Lord, that you would keep her safe, Lord. And bless this time, an amazing, exciting season of her life, Lord God. Lord God, we know that it's your will, Lord, that matters, Lord. So I pray that your will would be done in her life, Lord God, that she seeks you out in all things. So we pray for traveling mercies, Lord God. We pray that you keep her safe as she travels, Lord God. Lord, we pray for the move, because, Lord, moving is terrible. But, Lord God, you're bringing her to that place, Lord God. So thank you again for what you're doing in her life. Thank you for the blessing that she's been to our church and that she'll continue to be, Lord God. Because even when we're away, the relationships stay. The relationships don't end, Lord God. So help us to be connected. Help us to continue to pray for her, just today, but pray for her, Lord God, as we're praying that she's going through this transition, that we continue to keep her in prayer, lifted up to you, Lord God. Thank you again for your grace, your mercy, and your goodness, Lord God, and that you would have your hand again over her life all the days of her that she has, Lord God. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, praise God. Yeah. I should have told you. Surprise. What did she say? Oh, it's okay. God sees you the way you are, sister. God loves us the way we are. Amen? Thank you, guys. You know, I say, listen, it's important, right? Continue to pray for each other. You know, it's so important that we continue to love each other, support, and check in. Check in. How are you doing, sister? Thinking about you, praying about you. You know, that's the one thing that, you know, that we have access, right? We have phones, you have social media, you have different ways to stay connected and communicate with people. So, but, all right. God is good. Amen? All right. Today's message is titled, A Love Not Like No Other. A Love Like No Other, right? I know, right? And it's coming on the heels of what? Valentine's Day. How many of you guys had a good Valentine's Day? How many of you guys, amen. The rest of you guys didn't have a good Valentine's Day? Like, it was so-so, right? Valentine's Day, we taught the youth this, we had a youth group, or Next Gen yesterday, and we talked about if anybody saw people walking around with the 3-foot teddy bears, right? And the balloons and all the flowers, right? And it's a day that's kind of been, it's a holiday that's was created to remember what St. Valentine did in terms of when he was marrying, again, Christians who were under persecution at the time. But love, right? Wow, love. Oh, isn't it one thing that you hear? There's so many songs that are written, love songs, right? And there's movies that are written all about love. All right, let me see. I went through and I was getting ready for the message. And I looked up the top 5 love songs ever written. So I'm going to see if you guys know any. Shout out, what's your favorite love song? Anybody? Man, you guys don't like love in here? Okay, that Whitney Houston, right? That's a good one. I Will Always Love You. And I, right? All right. I could almost do it. But it's just too high. Yeah, Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You is actually the number one love song if you look up. The second one is Unchained Melody, right? By the Righteous Brothers. The third is Elvis Presley's Can't Help Falling in Love, right? The fourth is Endless Love by Diana Ross and Lionel Richie. Right? That's a cool song, too. It's like they used to write real, like, yeah, they loved each other, right? That was a good song. And number four, or actually rounding out the top five, song All of Me by John Legend. Right? No Justin Bieber on the list, unfortunately. I think the voters were a little older. But Justin has some good songs. I'm not going to hate on Justin. I have a Justin Bieber playlist. Okay, I'm not going to lie. How about the top five movies? The top five love or romantic movies? The Notebook. Yeah, The Notebook is actually number two on the list. The number one movie. Anybody? Titanic, surprisingly, is the number one movie. Which, I don't get it, man, because it's like, I always say, there was room on the log, on the door, to let him in. It's like, I'll never let go. I said, how about you just don't let him drown? Like, get him on the piece of wood with you. Which to me is like, nope, you're drowning. Peace. Surprisingly, that's the number one love song. I love movie. Say it again. The songs make the music seem so loud. I didn't understand it, brother. It's okay. We'll catch up after, Joanna. We're good. But so the Titanic was number one. The Notebook is number two. What do you guys? There's three more. Come on. Anybody? There's that movie with Patrick Swayze and Ghost. Is number three, right? The Bodyguard, number four. Which, surprisingly, I've never seen The Bodyguard. I've never seen The Bodyguard. So, and then number five is A Walk to Remember, right? Which is kind of a nice, yeah. So, see, there you go. So they agree. All right, that was a good. Titanic, at C3, it's going to be off the list, right? We don't agree. She could have saved him if she really loved him. But those other, I agree. But there's a lot, right, in the culture that we see about love, right? Whether it's a song or a movie, and we have our favorites, right? But the closer that we look at love and how we contrast with God's love, you know, there's a big difference. There's a huge difference when we see the way that God loves us and the way that the world describes love. Because in the culture that we see, right, the world love tends to be oftentimes very selfish. It tends to be self-serving. Right? It's not the type of love that we see when we read the Bible and the way that God loves us. So that's what we're going to spend some time today looking at God's description and the type of love that he offers us. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading in the book of 1 John. So you guys want to turn there, you guys can follow along. We're going to be in 1 John, and we're going to be in chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Now it's interesting, I'm going to give you guys a little context on 1 John. Who wrote it, right? You guys should all know this. John, right? Yeah, good. You guys are so smart. I always say, every morning, Stephen and I get here early, 7:30 in the morning, and we pass by every single church in Sanger, and we're looking for the smartest and the most beautiful people. We don't find them until we get here. Amen? But John wrote this book between 85 and 95 AD. Right? So he was a little bit upper in his age. And so, interestingly enough, when you read the first, not First John, but when you read John, there is a specific thing that he always says time and time again. He calls himself something. Do you guys remember what that was? Anybody? The disciple whom Jesus, that's right, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Isn't that a cool way to see yourself? He could have said, like, I'm John, I'm this person, I'm one of the original disciples, I walk with Jesus, I'm so cool. He didn't say that, right? What did he say? He time and time again, in fact, three times, he says that he was the disciple whom Jesus loved, right? And it's really important that we start with that, because in the culture that we live in, there's such a challenge with identity, right? You hear that a lot. Even the hot topic, if you turn on the news or if you watch CNN, is identity politics, or your identity, your gender identity, or your identity in terms of your race and ethnicity. And so everything is cloaked on all these different types of identities. Now, John gives us a really important reminder to say, listen, you're not any of those things. Your identity is in the fact that Jesus loves you. And so that's not just special to him. He says that. He says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. When you read the Bible, it's not just written for them. It's written for you. So when we read it, right, it's like, I'm the pastor whom Jesus loved. Oh, man, amen. Right? Joey is the brother whom Jesus loves. His identity, first and foremost, is in the fact that Jesus loves him. And isn't it so important that we start to really build our life on the identity that we have in Jesus Christ before any other identity? Amen? So I just wanted to, that was a little tangent. I know, it wasn't even in there, but sometimes you're driving the car and you want to pull off, right? That's what happens to me. I get distracted. But that's a little context in terms of who wrote the book. It's John. He oftentimes refers himself to the disciple whom Jesus loved because that's his identity. He wants you to know first and foremost that Jesus loves him, just like the same way that Jesus loves you. Well, let's read 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we have to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. And his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us." Amen? Man, praise God. The first thing that we're going to unpack from that scripture that we just read is that God's love for us is sacrificial. Number one, God's love for us is sacrificial. And we see that in verse 9 and 10. It says, this is how God showed his love, that he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Amen? Man, isn't it, those of you who have, you guys probably have heard me say this before, but you hear this a lot. The contrast of the world is, you hear this particularly around, a lot around people who are maybe younger, they always say, "Oh, girl, I love you. I love you." People just met. "Oh, I love you." You see that word thrown around very loosely? Like, "Oh, I love you. I can't wait to see you," right? Particularly, you see it around like young people who just met, who just found love. Right, you guys know what I'm talking about? There's just like a almost like an infatuation almost. It's like, "Oh, I love you so much, and we're best friends forever," right? Does that resonate, sound familiar to you guys? But I would tell you this. As somebody that has lived on the earth for 45 years, I used to have a lot of hair. Now I don't. Look at me, I'm bald, right? The older that you get, the more that you see and you look and you analyze certain things, particularly in relationships, the more that you learn, right, that when to really love somebody is to be firmly committed and to sacrifice for that person. To really love somebody is to be firmly committed and to sacrifice for that person. And so those of you, and I say this a lot, if you've been married or if you have kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. What does it take to have a healthy relationship, and what is it going to cost you? I say this time and time again. It's going to cost you everything. And I mean that, right? And this is why I encourage, where are my young men at in here? All right, there's one. There's one over here, right? There's another one over there. This is why I encourage, you know, and Paul's very clear on it too. I always say, listen, now everybody's like, well, what's he going to say, right? I highly encourage that if you want to achieve the fullness of what God has for you, you need to get married. You guys are like, what? What's that about? Right? Because we're very selfish as men. And we can't, it's very hard to love the way that God loves, which is unconditionally and sacrificially, until you're forced to actually do that. Amen? Every married man in here should say amen. Right? Because we don't know. We think we know, and we have no idea what it means to love like that. And so that's why I always say, my encouragement to young men is to say, listen, if you want to be more like Christ, you need to get married. Everybody's like, man, I don't like this message. Should have not come today. But listen, the world, like I said, God's love for us is sacrificial. How do we know that? He sent his son to die for us. He sent his son to die for us. Listen, when we read John 3:16, oftentimes we read it as very generic. For God so loved the world, and he did. But you almost have to interject and add, say, for God so loved the world and me, that he sent his only son. Right? That whoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. Because it's not just a scripture about the world, it's a scripture about you and how much God loves you. And oftentimes we go through and we'll fly by and not really personalize it or look at the application on that verse. But it's important to remember the number one, that you're loved by God, right? Now contrast again with the world's love. The world is often, right, it's based on feelings, it's based on attractions, and it's based on personal benefit, right? Many relationships fail because they're built on what somebody can get rather than what someone can give. Amen? Now, how do we know this is true? How do we know that second part is true? So, I mean, earlier I was watching, I don't know what I was watching. I was listening to something, and somebody says, this is how you know the love of the world is kind of like, you know, it's when it's convenient or it's good for you. What's that? What have you done for me lately, right? That's the one. But there was a gal that she was like 25 years old, and what was her name? Anna Nicole Smith. You guys remember her? She looked like she had blonde hair, and she was in a movie. She did a Marilyn Monroe movie, or she just looked like her. She was a model. Okay. Now she married a man who was 86 years old in a wheelchair. He had been in a wheelchair since the 70s. Okay. But guys, she married him for love, okay? He was a billionaire, but she really married him for love, right? I'm just saying. So that's how you know, yes, guys, when you, and I know, listen, we live in the culture, we live in the world. I know you guys listen you turn on the radio. There's an American philosopher and poet that wrote a song. His name is Kanye West, and he says, "She ain't nothing but a gold digger." That's how you know that was real, because Anna Nicole Smith did not marry that dude for love, okay? But he was happy, I guess, you know, whatever. So in the world, in the culture, we see a lot of examples like that where it's like, man, I would kind of think twice if that was real love or not. Definitely, I think somebody who was trying to get ahead in life, if I would say that. But by the same token, right, we see that Jesus sacrificed his life for us, right? Now, in contrast, not by the same token, in contrast. And he didn't just die for his friends, right? That's an honorable thing. For example, like, you guys have seen those movies where the guys are out to war and there's a grenade and somebody has, like, gets their helmet and they jump on it and you're like, oh, man, that's like crazy. You would do that for your brothers, right, that you're serving with. And that would be an honorable thing. Or somebody gives their life for like their spouse or their kids, or they sacrifice, right? That's an honorable thing. But what about for somebody that you hate, right? What about somebody who is openly your enemy? Somebody that has backstabbed you, somebody that has hurt you, somebody that you know, like, man, if they were alone in a dark alley and nobody could see you run them over, you would run them over. Twice, and put it in reverse, huh? If I could get away with this murder, I would do it right now. It's one thing to give your life for somebody that you love. It's another thing to sacrifice for somebody who you really don't care for, amen? Now that's us, guys. When we think about it, and then we look at what we read in the scripture, right? In Romans 5:8, it tells us that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. See, we weren't apart. We weren't together with God, right? It's one thing to love somebody and sacrifice for somebody that you love, your family, your friend, your fellow army, people who serve with you. But it's another thing to give your life for your enemy, right? It's a totally different thing. And that's how much God loves us and how he loves us sacrificially. And so when we read on and we look at what John is telling us, he's very clear too. He says, listen, whoever has the love of God, the love is made complete in them. But if you're not loving the way that God loves, he's saying what? He's almost doubting whether you have a right relationship with God. So when I was giving you the picture analogy of the person in the dark alley that you would run over and put it in reverse and run over back, right? You probably have that person in your head, right? God is, when you read that scripture, you don't get to pass by it. You can say, well, he meant that one, that was for Joey, it wasn't for me. That was for somebody else. I'm still going to be mad. I'm still going to hate this person because, God, you don't understand how much that person hurt me. God, you don't understand. We start to what? We start to justify why we need to hold on to that hurt. We need to justify why we will not forgive. But do you really think that Jesus doesn't understand? I mean, honestly, when he was betrayed and put on the cross, when he was betrayed by his friends, and he was spit upon and scourged and humiliated on the cross, because oftentimes we'll say, you don't know what that person did to me. You don't know how much they hurt me. You don't understand. And you're right. I may not understand, but Jesus understands. The thing that he's talking about here is to say, like this, if God's love lives in you, then you're going to have to forgive the way that Jesus forgives. You're going to have to love the way that God loves. So maybe there's someone, right, that we need to now, this week, love sacrificially. Maybe we need to forgive somebody. Maybe we need to serve somebody. Maybe we need to give to somebody without expecting anything in return, the way that God loved us. That's what John is teaching us there in that passage of Scripture. The second thing that we see in that passage of Scripture, and it's in 1 John 4, I'm going to read it again, verses 11 through 13, it says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we need to love one another, because no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." And what we see there is that God's love transforms us and is made complete in us. His love transforms us and is made complete in us. That's the second point in today's message. The world is going to tell you what? Love yourself. Love me some me, and I'm always on my mind, right? How can I get ahead? Doesn't matter who I have to hurt. Doesn't matter who I have to undermine. I got to get ahead. That's what the world teaches you. But God's love is completely different. transforms us. And it's made, this is a cool thing about it, it's made complete in you. How awesome is that? The secret about following Jesus is that not only does he love you and give you a means and a way, but he actually comes in and I always say, does the heavy lifting for you. He does the heavy lifting for us. He shows us how to love, even our enemies, through prayer and meditation. And it's not just about receiving, but when we start to love like that, guess what happens? We start to become more like Jesus. And that's what he's inviting us. See, forgiveness and loving people and even our enemies and those who wrong us, when we do that, we're reflecting our Lord and Savior. It's not about us. I'm not keeping score. We start to love and allow the love of Jesus to work in our life, then we start to be more like him. Amen? Being like us, like how we thought we were and that I was right and I was this and that, that just gets us into trouble. Amen? But when we start to love like Jesus, don't things start to change in your life? Doesn't Jesus start to transform who you are? Because when we were in the world and living for ourselves, how did that work out? How did it work out? It doesn't, right? And so slowly as we give our life to Jesus and we start to follow and be obedient to him, he starts to transform us. The desires of our heart aren't what they used to be. You know, we used to value things that were like we thought were really important. You know, and now it's like, who cares? I mean, we used to value all these things that was like in the big scope of things, they don't really matter. You know? When we first, when Stephanie and I first moved into our house, we put in some red oak flooring. Man, I was like, I love that floor. How stupid that is, right? I wasn't saved at the time, okay? Just so you guys know. I would literally, guys, clean the floor on my hands and knees, and Stephanie's my witness, with the Murphy's oil soap, and I would clean it with my hands every weekend. She knows it. We didn't have kids, so I had more free time. Yeah, I did. Oh, we did have Ethan. I'm sorry. But she was a baby, right? He was a baby. So we did have Ethan. But I used to think it was so important that I had to clean the floors by hand. Like I was Cinderella. So, shh, wax on, wax off. Wax on. Doing the whole floors. You know, and like now it's like, you know, who cares? Like I used to care about it so much. Like, it was so important. How many of you guys, maybe you had a new car. You had a similar experience. Like, oh, don't touch my car. Don't eat in here. Take your shoes. You know, you do all this stuff. And I was like, the kids are eating McDonald's in it, and it smells like pizza, and there's all kinds of different things. And all to say what? The things that I used to value before, it's not really that important. God has come in, and he started to transform my heart, right? The things that matter most are the things of God and the people that I love and the things that God has called us to do. And so he started to transform us, and he makes us complete. I think that's an amazing, amazing statement that we find there. And then there's no greater story than if you read, because read the book of Acts, right? There's somebody that was completely transformed by the name of Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, who was actually going out and killing Christians, and God got a hold of him, Jesus got a hold of him, right? And transformed him and used him mightily. And I love that passage in the book of Acts where he says, this man will suffer greatly for the gospel. And he did, but he did an amazing work, but he was transformed through God's love. Amen? And so some of you guys are saying, man, yeah, God, I am suffering greatly right now. But you know what? God is working and doing a thing in your life for his honor, for his glory. Let's keep reading. We're still in John chapter 4, but let's read the next section there. It's verse 16. It says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has nothing to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Amen. The passage of scripture we're going to focus on there is that God's love is not temporary. It's eternal and it's secure. God's love is not temporary. It's eternal and it's secure. That's the third point for the message today. Because it's even talking about, right? This is how we know that his love is made complete in us and that he is love, and that we can even have confidence in the day of judgment, that in this world we are like Jesus. Listen, it's not like God was surprised when he came up with creation and what he was going to do. God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's all-knowing, right? He's all-powerful. He knew what he was going to do. He wasn't surprised by what was going to happen to his son Jesus on the cross. And so his love is eternal. It's not temporary. And in that, we find security. We find security in that. Because the world that the love that we see oftentimes in the world is a short term. It's a temporary thing. Just to illustrate this point, I did a search for the fastest celebrity marriages. And the number three on that list was Jennifer Lopez and her dancer, Chris Judd. How long do you guys think they were married? 9 months, though, okay? Give me the look, like, shh. Turn it around. Get back in the car. How about Dennis Rodman and Carmen Electra? You guys remember that one? That marriage lasted all of 9 days. It's true love right there. And then my favorite was Not Just a Girl. With Britney Spears and her best friend, Jason Alexander, married 55 hours. The heck? And when they interviewed him, he said he was really in love with her. He's like, I thought it was true love. She's been my childhood. I've been in love with her all my life. But apparently she didn't feel the same way. That marriage lasted 55 hours. In contrast, though, the way that God loves us is God loves us eternally. Because he sent his son to die on the cross for us, and we have a right relationship with him, and his love is made whole in us. The thing that is amazing to me is that not only do we get to reap the benefits, and I'm not being honest with you, it's not like it's what's convenient for me. No, man, but God loves me. He loves you. And that's enough. Right? And not just now, but the promise that we have in Jesus Christ is that, listen, even death can separate us from that love, because he promises us eternity with him. Amen? And isn't that an amazing promise? And we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, and we were at a conference this past week, and one of the speakers said, it's like, listen, you have a lot of different beliefs about what you read in the Bible about, you know, heaven, new heaven and a new earth, and the streets made of gold, and places of worship. And yeah, those things are there. But he says, listen, the most important thing about heaven is that you get to be with God. We get to be with God eternally, right? Not temporary, the way that we just described these 5-minute microwave marriages. God's love is eternal and unshakable. In Romans chapter 8, verses 37-39, it says, "Know in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, Neither the present nor the future, or any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man. Listen, to live in the world, we have a lot of doubts. Amen. We have a lot of insecurities. And we should read these scriptures and be reminded of God's love for us. And finding our identity in who He says that we are. Not in what the world says. We're going to be let down. We're going to be let down if we... But man, that's just a firm reminder of His love and His sacrifice, that through Christ Jesus, we can't be separated from His love. Ever. And the other thing that we talked about is the security that we find in God's love. Isn't it nice? There's a sense of security around being people who love you for who you are. Not the people who just love you, you know, your fair weather friends, but the people that are like your ride or dies, right? Like, doesn't matter when you need them the most, they were going to be there through thick and thin. You probably can count those people on one hand, right? And it feels good to be around those people because you don't have to impress them. They love you for who you are already. There's a sense of security and safety when you're with those people, amen? For little children, it oftentimes is, you guys remember, and if you have a little ones at home, when they get scared, what do? What's the first thing they look for? They look for mom or dad, right? They look for mom or dad. Because there's a sense of security and a sense of safety around them. And listen, you hear me say this a lot. Every single one of us in here, I don't care how old we are, we have insecurities and we have fear, we have anxiety. And there's a part of you that never stops being like a little baby. But oftentimes we run to different things to try to validate because we're afraid, we have anxiety, we try to fix it ourselves. And just like little kids, right? Our Heavenly Father says we need to run to Him for safety and security. Don't forget. I'm telling you as somebody who's, I have all gray goatee, my goatee's all gray. The Just for Men is, they just start painting it. But there's something inside of us that never stops needing a sense of security that we get from our Heavenly Father. And so my reminder for you today is to say, don't stop running to Him. He is who He says that He is. In Him, we don't have to be afraid of fear. We don't have to be have a fear of rejection. We don't have to be afraid of being a failure. Look at where I am in my life. This thing didn't pan out for me, or I made this mistake, or I've done all these things. In your Heavenly Father, you're seen as a child of God. And you are loved. And you are forgiven. And you belong. And there's a sense of peace that happens when we bring ourselves back to the Father in that way, through Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. Because one of the things that all of us, we have insecurities, I'm telling you. And we put them on different relationships in our lives, even the ones that we think are the most important. But if we're honest, even the people that really love us have let us down. Even the people that we call, that we know that they love us through and through, but sometimes because we're human, we hurt each other. It could be the relationships that are the most intimate in your life that have let you down and hurt you. So yeah, we walk around sometimes with a little bit of baggage, a little bit of scars, because we are afraid that we're going to be hurt again. We're afraid that we're going to be abandoned. And listen, God is saying the people, the relationships, in creation, they can't fill you and make you whole like the way that I can. And so, yeah, It's important that God says, listen, come back to me and feel my love. And then, if we're still dealing with some of those hurts of the people who have hurt us in the back, particularly those people that we counted on to trust us, that we needed them, and they hurt us, God says, I'm going to make you whole. Because in my relationship, you will not have fear. You will not be rejected. You won't be seen as a failure. And you definitely won't be abandoned. Right? In the Father, we're made whole. Amen? So what we see here in John 15, verse 13, there's a verse there that says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And Jesus has already done that for you and for me. In John 3:16, the Amplified Version says, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world. But listen, insert your name. For God so greatly loved your name, right? And the world, that he gave his only son, his only begotten son, that whoever believes and trusts in him as Savior will not perish but have eternal life. That's the love that God gives us. And that's what we hang our hat on. It's not about teddy bears and balloons and chocolate and all that kind of stuff. That's all nice. You step on the scale and then you gain 5 pounds. But God loves us as we are, amen? And in him we're enough. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your message and reminder, Lord God, of how much you love us. That you sent your son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins because you love us so much, Lord God. That even while we were your enemy, you sacrificed, you paid the ultimate sacrifice, Lord. And we don't take that lightly, Lord God. When we accept you as Lord and Savior, it should transform our lives. It should transform our lives, Lord God. Because in you, we're restored. In you, we're made whole. And in you, your love is made perfect, Lord God. And so thank you again for your sacrifice. Thank you again for all of your grace and your mercy, Lord God, that you are true to all your promises, Lord God. When we read the scriptures, we can be reminded and have confidence, Lord God, and knowing, Lord, that you're for us, not against us, that nothing can separate us from your love, for the love you have for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father God, forgive us right now, Lord God, for areas, Lord, where we've sinned. Lord, we haven't prioritized your things. We've been busy, Lord, with work or school or distractions, Lord, relationships that have been taking us further away from you. Forgive us, Lord God, when we make excuses, Lord. We have a decision every day. We're as near or as far away from you as we want to be, Lord God. So, Father God, forgive us. Holy Spirit, give us a new desire to want to walk in your fullness. Give us a new desire for your word. Give us a new desire for the things that would draw us closer to you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for all the provision that you give, Lord God. We are so blessed. Beyond measure, we are blessed. Number one, for the free gift of salvation, for the blessings that you pour out on us, Lord God. But also to remember that all good things come from you. Help us to live with a heart that is thankful, that is overflowing, that wants to worship you with everything that we have, Lord God. So thank you again for who you are, Lord God. And will you continue to meet us at our needs, Lord God. Father God, right now, if there's anybody in here, Lord, that is going through just a tough time, Lord God, is feeling alone or hurt or just brokenhearted, Lord God, Father God, will you meet them at their need, Lord? Lord Jesus, will you surround them with your love and with your peace and with your joy? Help us to continue to be there for each other, Lord, as a church body, Lord God, that your word is telling us that we need to love our brothers and sisters. We need to love our brothers and sisters at the second half of the great commandment that you've given us, Lord God. First, to love you, and second, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And in that, Lord, the world will know that you are God and that you are good. Your word even says that that's how the people will know. That's how the world will know through the unity of the church. Jesus was sent by the Father. Help us to continue to do that, Lord. And Lord, watch over us, guide us, and keep us, Lord. And right now, again, Lord Jesus, work in our hearts. If there's people we need to forgive, if there's pains we need to let go of, just to draw closer to you, Lord God, and be more like you, Lord Jesus, to love the way that you've loved us, to forgive freely, to enjoy the relationship and the oneness that we have with you, with the family that you've blessed us with the friends that you've blessed us with, Lord God. Help us to put aside our resentment, our pride, our ego, our hurt, our pain, and to surrender all of that on the cross, Lord God. You've given us victory over those things by the covering of your blood. And we don't have to be those things anymore, Lord God. You've called us your children. So, Lord, as we leave the place, Lord God, just be reminded of the firm love that we have in you. And Lord, help us to do the best we can to share the good news of who you are, to be the salt and the light of the world, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.